the American dream. To his last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by ADT Security. For over 140 years, your first line of defense.
This is The National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you. The men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there. And it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Hey, welcome into The National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And just want to find out about what is happening with Farmers Insurance, because Farmers is a great partner with The National Defense. They do so much for veterans all the time. And we're so excited to talk to Lisa Eichberger. Lisa is the head of brand marketing for Farmers Insurance. Lisa, how are you?
I'm great, Randy. Thanks for having me today.
Guys, got the big golf tournament coming up here, the Farmers Insurance Open. And how long have you been doing that?
Yeah, it's our ninth year hosting the Open in partnership with the PGA, the Century Club, and the City of San Diego, and we're really excited for this year.
Man, I'll tell you, you know, golf has become a huge deal, hasn't it? I mean, you know, even when you guys started 9 years ago, I mean, the purse for this particular tournament is it's almost $7 million.
It is, you know, it's an exciting game. We've got a great group of guys playing. You know, you probably have heard that we sponsor Ricky Fowler, so
yeah.
He's there as our ambassador, and then John Rahm will be back as the winner from last year, and then we're very excited that Tiger has agreed to play this year. And it looks like we've got Phil Mickelson and Jason Day, so it's going to be a fantastic field. We're very excited about what's coming.
And what great timing too for Farmers to host this tournament. At the very beginning of the golf season, I mean, it's really kind of a special mm-hmm. feel, like you mentioned, and Tiger's going to be back, and Ricky Fowler. Now, do you guys have to, when Ricky is playing, does everybody at Farmers dress up as Ricky?
You know, that's a fantastic idea. We don't, but maybe we could all show up with our orange hats, you know,
put
on a little bit sideways.
And, oh, man.
Flashy clothes.
He is Mr. Sartorial. You know, it was funny. I went to the Masters a few years ago and followed Ricky around the course. And it was hilarious how many people, I mean, not just kids, but I mean, adults dressing mm-hmm. like Ricky on the day that he's dressed that way.
He's, you know, he's just a lot of fun. He's really popular both in and out of golf. And we love our partnership with him because he brings so much to the table. And like you said, you know, people just enjoy him. He's a great guy. He's fun to watch. He's fantastic with the kids, which we love.
Right.
And then, you know, he's got popularity outside of golf, too. So he's, you know, a fantastic ambassador and partner to Farmers.
What other kind of things do you guys do with Ricky? Does he do some events or maybe some meet and greets, that kind of thing?
Yeah. You know, we have him do some meet and greets. You know, we do a ton of charity at these events. That's really for us. You know, the event is obviously about golf, but
sure.
the charity component is the other, like, major
right.
thing for us. And so, you know, Ricky gets involved with that as well. And, you know, it's always great to have him and all the other tour players who get involved and some of the tour wives who help out with these, you know, great charity activities.
Yeah. And if we can, Lisa, we're talking to Lisa Eichberger, the head of brand marketing for Farmers Insurance. Let's talk a little bit about some of those charities and some of the things that Farmers is involved with outside of insurance.
Yeah, you know, we're proud of what we do. You know, we've been, since we were founded 90 years ago, we've really just dedicated ourselves to giving back to the communities that we're just privileged enough to serve. So, you know, through the golf tournament, there's some things we do specifically. We partner with Champions for Youth, and they work with 10 local San Diego charities that support the military as well as at-risk youth. And last year, we were able to raise $3 million just last year that we gave back to the local community. You know, as you know, San Diego is a very military-heavy community, and you know, we're
absolutely.
Very happy to be involved with that.
Yeah, it's funny. I'd kind of forgotten that this tournament is at Torrey Pines, the legendary Torrey Pines.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in San Diego for a while and worked at a radio station there. And Torrey Pines is a public golf course. I mean, it's amazing. You can play that golf course for like $34. And I was fortunate enough at one point to be in the Pro-Am. at Torrey Pines before the tournament started. I have never been. Are you a golfer, Lisa?
I'm not. My father is, so I know a lot about golf. And,
well,
he gets excited when he gets to play there.
Oh, my God. I can't tell you how I've never been that nervous in my life. Hitting that first tee ball on the first tee of the Pro-Am at Torrey Pines. I mean, because I'm just afraid. I just want to make contact. You know, I don't want to kill anybody. And it was just such a great experience. But what a great course and what a great community San Diego is. I can remember lying on the beach and seeing the Navy SEALs train at Coronado. And it's just it's such a great community out there in San Diego. Now, Lisa, I know you guys are also involved with a disaster recovery situation. Is it the St. Bernard Project?
Right. SBP is one of our partners, and disaster recovery is actually our theme this year. As everyone's aware, it's been just a really tough year around the nation with all the natural disasters and everything that has hit both our local Southern California communities as well as the rest of the country. So disaster preparedness and disaster recovery are really the things we're focused on. SBP has been a partner of ours for quite some time. And this year we'll be working with them specifically on building out these, they're really cool, they're these prefabricated panels. And we're going to build those with them. And it sounds kind of crazy, but we'll build these like walls, basically, and take them across the country to places as needed to allow SBP to quickly rebuild people's homes in places where they've been impacted by the recent disasters.
Wow, that's interesting. So they're panels? Like prefab panels that you just put up?
Chunks of houses, basically, that we'll build them, and then they'll take them where they're needed.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And so what kind of areas are you talking about? Where you headed with the St. Bernard Project?
Well, they work with a lot of different areas. One of the things I love about SBP is they don't walk away from communities after things have happened. So they're still engaged in New Orleans. I actually was there last year rebuilding homes with them, as a result of the hurricane there years back. They're very involved in Seabright. They're still in Joplin. And now with the recent hurricanes, Irma and as Texas has been impacted, they're working there.
Yeah.
So they continue to work around the country where they're needed, and they stay in a community until the community is truly rebuilt, as opposed to some of these more Band-Aid solutions that you see where people come in, do something quick, and then move out.
Yeah, it's funny. We've the American Red Cross is a partner of ours, and we have them on the show on a regular basis. They haven't had time to be on the show. I mean, they've been in these communities and one thing right after another. I mean, it's just been, like you said, throughout the entire year, something going on.
Yeah, it's just been a heck of a year.
Yeah.
And, at Farmers, our goal really is to come in and help people rebuild and help them get back to where they were. We hate to see this because it's so hard, and we're glad we can help, but we certainly would prefer not to be in a situation where we need to. It's really tough to see people going through tough times, and we're glad we can do what we can to get them back where they belong.
We're talking to Lisa Eichberger from Farmers Insurance here on the National Defense. So, Lisa, I think another thing that people might be surprised about with Farmers, you said you started 90 years ago.
Correct. Yeah, we've been in business for 90 years. We were founded by two World War II veterans. And we've just been part of the community ever since.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. Well, and the Farmers brand now is so much more kind of top of mind, I think, in everybody's mind because of the advertising and the branding that you guys have done. What a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, and that's.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of fun. And we get to showcase really the things we have covered. Obviously, we take a little bit of Hollywood magic and spin them into, more visually appealing stories. But what's interesting with our advertising is every one of the claims that we show in an ad actually did happen.
It's amazing.
And we covered it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the spokesperson is great. I mean, the whole campaign is just really, really well done. Can you talk a little bit about what Farmers does cover? I mean, I know it's just about everything, but, home, auto, everything, huh?
Yeah, I mean, those are our biggest focuses, are home and auto. We also have business insurance. We even go so far as to have pet insurance. And then, we've got our financial services, which are probably a little less known. We're there for just about anything you need.
Pet insurance.
Yep.
We have horses. And so, if you know, I mean, you can either have money or horses. And so we have horses. And so when you say
kind of like boats.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Right. Exactly. And so when you say pet insurance, boy, I my eyebrows go up.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, home and auto are our big focuses. And then, like I said, business insurance and our financial services. So that's where we put the biggest emphasis. And that's where most people, you know, in the community need us the most.
Well, and it's great. Your support of veterans, I mean, from the very start to present day, I mean, Farmers has always been there for veterans and in active duty military.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things we definitely pride ourselves on. And, you know, with the tournament coming up, we'll be offering free and discounted admission to active duty, reserve, and retired military. So
that's cool, yeah.
And then we do a lot of work with the Armed Services YMCA in San Diego. In fact, we spend one morning volunteering at their facility with their food exchange, which is, you know, really, it's just a rewarding experience. I've done it the past few years, and it's great to see. We actually meet families and talk to them and, you know, provide food and services that they need. And then we donate a lot to the Armed Services YMCA for their various programs in San Diego.
Well, on behalf of the veterans and their families, thank you so much for what you're doing. And thank you for your participation on the National Defense. It's going to be fun to keep
thank
up
you.
With what Farmers is doing. And, you know, maybe next year we'll have to do the show from the tournament.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, that
Let's
would be fantastic. I mean, as long as I don't have to stand on the tee box, I'd be fantastic to.
yeah, we don't want you nervous. We'll
yeah, exactly. Right. Hey, Lisa, thank you so much. Happy New Year. And thank you to Farmers.
Thank you.
Some good stuff. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
National Defense is made possible by Farmers Insurance. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and Operation Homefront is doing so much for military families around the country. We are so glad to have John Prey back on, Brigadier General John Prey, President and CEO of Operation Homefront. General, how are you?
Randy, I am doing great. Always wonderful to talk to you guys.
You know, I just can't understand, though, John. You know, you're such a nice guy. When you think of Brigadier General, you're slapping guys in the face. I mean, you know, how did you go from Brigadier General to the CEO of Operation Homefront and being such a nice guy?
Well, I really appreciate that. Don't let that word get out because that will destroy all my credibility.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
No, it's like I think I would share. My whole life has been about serving others.
And, yeah.
And I would venture to say that most in the military share that same that same sentiment. And I would also probably make a pretty bold statement, but I don't think it's too far off track. Is that all the military officers that I have ever served with, all the NCOs, et cetera, and when they were in a position of leadership, that was what motivated them. That's what drove them. And it was not about being, you know, particularly hard, but it was all about taking care of the troops and taking care of the folks that are doing all the work.
It's always the mission. It's always the mission.
Yep.
You know, and when you know, that's the other thing about you guys. You have taken that service and that mission and that mindset to Operation Homefront. You guys have done so much, and I'm just looking through some statistics just from last year, but let's just talk about some of the stuff you've done, and especially with the Home Depot Foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the whole purpose for Operation Homefront is we're here to serve America's military families. And, you know, we do it through a whole spectrum of activities. We know that there are a lot of other nonprofits out there doing good work for our military families. Our goal is to help them with some of their financial challenges. I know some others help them with their job skills and job searches and stuff like that, but we're there to help them with their financial challenges. And the Home Depot Foundation is an amazing, I will use the word amazing, sponsor of ours. They have allowed us to do so much good work for our military families.
So this is just a couple of things. So, since 2011, Operation Homefront has provided more than 20 million fulfilling over 35,000 critical financial assistance requests for food, rent, home repairs, car repairs, utilities. Hey, John, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll find out more about Operation Homefront right here on the National Defense. No matter where you're headed, Farmers Insurance can help you plan for the insurance you want. With practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience, at Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry, Operation Homefront, doing such great work for veterans and military families all across the country. And Brigadier General John Prey is the CEO and is on with us here on the National Defense. John, give me a sense of the actual request that you guys get. And I would imagine no request is too small or too large, right?
Yeah, that's true. Our focus tends to be on trying to help those servicemen and women who are either in the active duty, and we have a limited capacity to help them simply because of some of the ethics regulations are
sure.
Preclude us from giving, you know, too much money to an actively serving military member. But for those families that are in transition, those that are like between 1 and 6, 7 years of transition, they need a lot of help because, as you know, and many of our listeners probably know, transitions are hard.
Yeah.
And transitioning from the military to the civilian community is not without a lot of difficulty and hardship. And so we do provide a lot of help for those who to come to us and say, hey, can you give me a little bit of help to kind of make ends meet? And there's a lot of families out there struggling to make ends meet. And as you said, No request is too small. I would venture to say there are some requests that are probably too large.
Yeah.
But the point being is that when we do a lot of our work on home repairs, for example, those can be very costly.
Right.
And so we work really hand in hand with the Home Depot Foundation to make sure that, you know, we're doing the best we can. We've even brought on board a contractor that helps us manage the repair contract so that we're getting the most out of the contract, and we're not being taken advantage by people who may do that. But no request is too small, but I would say generally no request is too large, but I would put a caveat on that.
Yeah, right. Well, and I think the more important number in terms of the critical financial assistance since 2011 helped more than 14,000 families, and that is that's huge. And it's also, as you know, John, it's sometimes life-saving, right? I mean, because, you know, in transition time, especially, you know, these days, you've got depression, you've got PTSD, you've got veteran suicides, and all of these kinds of things lead to those events. And so for you guys at Operation Homefront to step in and take care of some of that stressful situation, I'm sure sometimes you don't even know how much that means to families.
Well, yes, you know, you're absolutely correct. It's because what we find is when you do have financial challenges, they affect all other components of your life,
yep.
Relationships, legal issues, and everything else, which could then all of a sudden turn into a rapidly spiraling decrease or downward trend that leads people to make some very, very unfortunate and tragic decisions about their futures.
Right.
And so the goal for us is to make sure that, hey, we can get them through this bumpy space and put them on a better path. They're going to do a whole lot better in the long term. And one of the things that we measure and we track is how many times a family will come to us. And as it stands, I'm proud to say 77% of the people that we help, we only see them once.
Wow. Well, and I was just thinking about that because sometimes it's, hey, can you pay my light bill?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
just get them through something. Can you give me, you know, a couple months worth of help for groceries?
Right.
A utility bill or something like that. And we have another then 11% we only see twice. Because sometimes, you know, it takes maybe a more than one helping opportunity to get a family back on the right track. So 88% of the people that come to us for assistance, we only see once or twice and get them back on the right track.
Wow.
And that is I'm very proud of that statistic. I just think that tells us that we're hitting the mark and we're doing the right thing.
Well, you're hitting the mark and you're also serving the right community, you know, because the thing with military families that we know is the fact that they want to make it. They want to make it on their own. And a lot of times they don't even want to ask for help. But if they get that just something over the hump, that that can get them back on track to doing what they need to do, right?
Absolutely. And I think that you hit on a real interesting point there is, and I would encourage any of the listeners to encourage the military member to actually ask for help. Oftentimes that's very hard. And so we get a lot of the requests that come in for assistance are from the spouses who say, wow, you know, we're really struggling. And you know, my husband, you know, we're really trying hard and he's really trying hard and we're really working, but we're just not making ends meet. You know, he's reluctant to kind of reach out. And they'll say, that's what I'm doing. Is that okay? And we'll say, absolutely. We need to understand what the challenges are. So, you know, we want the spouse, the family to reach out as a unit if possible, because that's important there, because there are so many military members who, as you said, are reluctant to ask for help.
Right. We're talking to Brigadier General John Prey, the CEO of Operation Homefront. And you talked about spouses, you guys also offer all kinds of support to the caregivers. And that's important.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there are fewer jobs that are harder than being a caregiver.
Or unappreciated.
Yes, exactly. Because it is generally a 24/7, 365 requirement. And those folks need a lot of support to make sure that they understand they need to take care of themselves. And so we have a Heart to Valor program where we have about 3,200 caregivers in our system. Our program is led by Dr. Sarah Bowes, a renowned expert in the field. And we really work hard on making sure that they understand that for the long-term benefit of their family, of themselves, and of their loved one, they need to focus on taking care of themselves and understanding that there are more in that situation like them, and they can reach out, and they're never alone. And that's absolutely essential to kind of give them the energy and that allows them to sustain that caregiving for the long haul.
You know, I'm looking at this list of what everything that you guys do in terms of permanent housing, caregiver support, Military Child of the Year Award, Back to School Brigade, the baby showers, the holiday. How many people are with Operation Homefront? A couple of million?
Well, I'd like to think so, but no, we are able to do what we do with a very small but talented staff.
Wow.
We have about 120 people that are full-time employees. We have, you know, several thousand volunteers that extend our reach. And of course, we have, you know, thousands of other like-minded, either corporate or individuals, sponsors, donors, that kind of allow us that provide the fuel that keeps us going. So we have a national presence. We're nationally recognized. We have, you know, great ratings by many of the rating agencies. You know, I'm just proud to say that we've earned Charity Navigator's 4-star rating for the 10th consecutive year. Only 1% of the nonprofits can say that. And so small but talented staff does some amazing work for a very, very special group of our fellow citizens.
You know, I always tell people that if you have any indecision about where to donate, my first two that come to mind are Operation Homefront and the American Red Cross. And because you always know where that money is going, that money is going to benefit somebody directly. And that's just it's incredible. John, what is the best way for people to find out, or if they want to donate, the website operationhomefront.org?
That's absolutely right. People can come, you know, see us and see the program services we provide, and, you know, learn more about the organization from www.operationhomefront.org.
Well, thank you so much for what you guys are doing. It's just it's always great to talk to you, and I don't know how you have time to talk because you're involved in so many things. But listen, Happy New Year, John. Thank you so much for the time.
Absolutely, Randy. You guys do great work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. National Defense, it's Randy Miller, and this is great. So glad to have Congressman Phil Rowe from my home state of Tennessee and also the chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs right here in the National Defense. Congressman, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. What part of the great state of Tennessee are you from?
Knoxville, born and raised.
100 miles down the road, great.
That's right, yeah. I mean, get back there every chance I have, and the only thing I miss is Kaz Walkers. I can't find a Kaz Walker around here.
Yeah, Exactly. Well, I tell you, you live in a great place. Knoxville's a great town.
Yeah, it's beautiful there, and all my family are still there. And thank you for the job that you're doing for Tennessee, and also thank you for the job that you're doing for veterans, because we see so often, as a matter of fact, we just had the legislative director of the American Legion on this program, Matt Schumann, last week, and I asked him to name two of the politicians who are making the biggest difference for veterans, and your name was the first thing out of his mouth.
Well, I appreciate that. The Legion's great to work with. They truly, I've been a Legion member myself for years and years, but they are great to work with, as are many of the VSOs are tremendous to work with, and they're looking after veterans and bring up issues that, you know, you can't be everywhere all the time. One of the things I've learned is that you can't, at least the way I am, I'm an eyes on guy, so I travel around the country a lot to various, I wish I had more time to do it. I just got back from Aurora, Colorado, looking through that hospital. We did a town hall in Castle Rock, 200 and something veterans at that town hall. And I've been literally all over the country from coast to coast, and just to hear from veterans, not from bureaucrats,
right,
but from veterans, and hear what they've got to say, it really is, it's very helpful to me and what I do here in my job.
Well, and one of the things you do, Congressman, you keep an eye on this opioid situation that is horrendous for everybody, but especially for veterans. And you guys just released a statement. If you'll talk about that a little bit, I want to find out what's going on there.
Well, what happened, there was the VA recognized that their prescribing of opioids was much higher than the population, which, as you know, we have now more people dying of prescription drug overdose deaths than we do prostate cancer or breast cancer or colon cancer.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's just, and it's virtually all preventable. And so the VA, because of the system they have and the data collection that they had, they decided to try to do something about it. And just to give you an example, in Tennessee, they started this program in about 2011 and have now got it fully rolled out, and realizing that there are people out there who need these opioids, that nothing else controls their pain. And those folks, under the management of a pain specialist or someone who specializes in that, absolutely, they should do it. But just for routine pain, we should not be using opioids. And the three medical centers that we have in Tennessee, Memphis, Quillen, and Johnson City in Nashville, the rates went from 22% of all prescriptions written that they filled at the VA pharmacy were for opioids, and up to 24%.
Wow.
That was in 2012. And by 2017, that rate had dropped to 11, 10, and 15%, so a 38 to 49% drop in the usage, and I think they'll be applauded for that.
Absolutely,
and I think they're saving lives for that, and that's a continuing. It's an education process, and the VA also decided, and they were also correct in this, that they're going to face chronic pain head on and say, look, we're going to deal with this by education. We're going to deal with it by pain management, by risk management, and addiction treatment. And the VA has probably some of the best addiction treatment facilities in the country. So that's sort of what we're doing, and we're trying to take care of the veterans' issues, but also do it safely. And look, if there's another alternative, whether it's whether it's acupuncture or other types of pain mitigation therapies, then we'll use those.
We're talking to Congressman Phil Rowe from Tennessee, chairman of House Committee of Veterans Affairs. So we've had VA Secretary Shulkin on the program a couple of times, and we've heard what he had to say. What kind of job is he doing?
I think he's doing a great job. It is a big, as you well know, a huge organization. There are more employees now at the VA than our U.S. That are in our U.S. Navy. So
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yep. More than the Navy has. So it is a huge organization. And, you know, Dr. Shulkin can't, you're familiar with where we live, and most people are listening to this radio won't know. We have a TVA lake in my hometown called Boone Lake. And I say changing the direction of the VA is like turning an aircraft carrier around in Boone Lake. It takes some time to do that.
Congressman, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here. Congressman Phil Rowe, chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, right after this on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and Congressman Phil Rowe is with us, Chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, right here in the National Defense. Congressman, it's so good that you're also a physician. What kind of physician? Was it just a primary medicine?
No, actually, I brought a lot of veterans into the world. I'm an OBGYN doctor. I was a general medical officer in the military and served in the 2nd Infantry Division in Korea many, many years ago. And I served as a GMO then, but that's what I did as living for over 30 years.
That
matter of fact,
great.
I ran into a former patient in Castle Rock, Colorado the other day.
Really? That's funny.
Yep.
I play golf with a guy that's a... what is he? He gives vasectomies. I don't know what field that is.
Urologist.
Yeah.
He's a urologist.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we actually ran into three of his patients on the golf course. I mean, that was an odd experience. But Congressman, what do you think right now? We've addressed the opioids. What else do we need to do for veterans that is just on the front burner right now?
You know, let me go over several things.
Sure.
One, a passion I've had since I've been here, and I still haven't been able to get it across the finish line. There are a group of about 100,000 Navy veterans from the Vietnam War that lived. They were in the blue water. In other words, they weren't brown water Navy guys. They didn't go up the streams and rivers. They stayed in the blue water. And the question is, were they affected by Agent Orange and got in the water? I've read the scientific journals, papers, I mean. You will never prove one way or the other. I'm ready to go ahead and give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm searching for a way to get that done. That's one of the things I want to get done before I leave this Congress. Two, we've got to get this choice program redone.
Yep.
And looking at the VA out in Colorado and how the missteps that it made, we had another hearing yesterday on it. It's a poster child for why we need I call it an asset review, but a long-range vision of where the VA is going to be. And let me tell you why that's important. Healthcare is not going to be provided in the future like it is today. Just exactly like the VA in my hometown. You've been there, I'm sure, many times at Mountain Home VA in Johnson City. It opened in 1903. Well, there are soldiers in that VA that grew up in log cabins before there was electricity or anything else. Those soldiers did. So today, a 100-bed hospital can do what a 500-bed hospital did when I opened my practice in the late 70s. So more and more treatments being forced out in the community, and what I want the VA to be doing is to be more nimble and be able to take that care closer to where the veteran actually lives. And that's to get the demographic data about where veterans are moving to. For instance, we know 10% of homeless veterans live in one county in the United States. That's Los Angeles County. Well, that's where a lot of resources ought to be directed. And so I think having a long-range plan, and the secretary agrees with that, is something that a piece of legacy I want to leave here, get the choice program up and running and working correctly. And then the claims backlog. You've talked about this on your show, I know, and it's terrible when you see a veteran waiting 3, 4, 5, 8, 9 years to get their claim adjudicated. We can do better than that.
It's terrible when you see a veteran die before their claim's adjudicated.
I had a friend of mine that happened to.
Yeah,
a
absolutely.
Close friend of mine that happened to.
If we can just get back to the choice program for just a second, we have this discussion all the time on this program. And what needs to be done, what has to be done, that kind of a thing. But, you know, I think the fact remains also that you could receive subpar care at private clinics. I mean, you know, there are some VA hospitals and VA clinics that do incredible work. And there are some bad VA clinics. Well, the same exists in the private health care as well, right?
That's correct. And what you want to be able to do, and Medicare is beginning to do this a lot better, is being able to measure quality. If you can get data and information, you can then look at outcomes and treatments that have been pointed toward that particular disease process. So that's one of the things that's good about electronic health records. I could go on for a long time about what's bad about them, but that is good, where you can collect data and you can find out this disease process, whether it's seen in the private sector or in the VA, are they meeting certain metrics and are outcomes getting better? That's what you really want to know. So the answer is yes to your question, but there's a way to track that now we didn't have a few years ago.
Congressman, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate what you're doing for the veterans, and would love to have you back on at some point in the future.
Appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much, Congressman Phil Rowe, the chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, right here on the National Defense. We'll be back next week with a brand new program right here.